מרכז האודיו של אוניברסיטת רייכמן.
What is up, guys? My name is Eliezer Lev. I'm in the IDC International Radio Station with my good friends Ezra Snuckle.
Howdy.
Daniel Dolphin.
How y'all doing?
And our very, very famous editor, Kobe Mall.
The hero.
Hey, bracha.
All right. Either way, you've tuned into Real Life. Now, that is R-E-E-L Life, because in this podcast, we are quite punny, and we love talking about movies, we love talking about film, we love talking about TV shows.
Everything in between.
We decided to tackle one of the greatest actors of all time, meaning he ranges from comedy to drama to sci-fi.
Children's sitcom.
Children's sitcom. He ranges from everything. And that man's name is Will Smith. He's one of our favorite actors. Just pretty much everything he does is amazing.
It's generally at least fun.
But in this episode, we will really delve into the brilliant characters and films and shows and whatever else he's been in to really give him the spotlight and appreciate his work. So, Ezra, would you like to take it away?
Yalla, I'll start us off. I think because we're starting to get a pattern here right now with the spotlights and focus on different directors and actors. So, moving forward, I'm going to kind of just set the tone of what roles I'm looking for when it comes to the spotlight. And that's the role that the actor plays or portrays. You no longer recognize the actor, right? Mm-hmm. We all know those movies where you see like Brad Pitt or Will Smith and you're like, oh, it's just Will Smith playing Will Smith or Brad Pitt playing Brad Pitt.
Right.
You know, it's not really a transcendent role or you look at him any differently. So the reason that I picked my pick, which is King Richard, Richard Williams, mm-hmm. in the 2021 movie.
Wait, so is he British or not? I'm still confused.
Who?
Is he a sir? Like, he's a king.
Oh, so he's not Sir Richard, but I don't know if he has the title. He can use his like an abbreviation, but he can't call himself Sir. Richard Williams, King Richard, is about the father of Serena and Venus Williams, the world famous tennis champions. The movie basically portrays him and his life story for how he trains them and starts their careers. Apparently, and I from what I understand, most of the movie is true. And the reason I picked it is because very often I would definitely attribute Will Smith what I said earlier, that like you watch a lot of these movies and it's Will Smith and Hitch, it's Will Smith and Hitchcock, like they can't even change the titles, they all sound the same.
Well, they're very different movies.
I know, but it's still Will Smith. It was Will Smith in Suicide Squad, and I really think there's only a handful of his movies that you could really be like, okay, he's played a transcendent role. And when he does it, he knocks it out of the park. But the reason I picked this one is because he does something that's very unique and which probably earned him his Oscar nomination for this year. He plays a protagonist that you root for, right? You want him to succeed. He's coming out of Compton. He's coming out of the hood. His family's dirt poor. He's working like 2-3 jobs. And all he cares about is not his own success, but his family's success and his children's success. But at the same time, he makes decisions that you can't help but question, meaning he makes decisions that appear selfish, but in his eyes, they're for the betterment of his family. For example, he refuses to let Serena and Venus compete in actual tournaments while they're in high school, right? So he does enough that they gain attention from professional trainers, and one of which ends up flying the entire family down for free to Miami. Mm-hmm. But afterwards, he says, nope, like they're just going to train. They're going to train and train for years. And then after, when they finish high school, we'll let them compete. And that's because in his eyes, he wants to have like a childhood. But in everyone else's eyes, literally everyone, from the trainers to the daughters to his own wife, they're like, let them compete. Let them do what they're great at doing. But he gets very stubborn to the point like where they're fighting, where his wife is like, the only reason I'm still with you is because of our kids, right? So he's a very flawed but fantastic protagonist. You're rooting for him, but at the same time, you're like, why? Why would you do this? Why would you do that? I think that's what makes a great role. I think that's what makes a great performance of an actor, where he gives you a many-layered character that shows many different sides of this of the talent he has in performing and acting. And that's why I think it's you know Will Smith has been in the the film and television world for a long time, but you didn't recognize him. It was Will Smith, but he played it really, really well.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
Was that like the only controversial, I guess, decision that he made?
No. So he,
at least specifically for that part, I can kind of like, I get where he's coming from, you know? Right? He wants to make sure his kids are trained, have a childhood. But also just from a big picture perspective, it makes sense, right?
So
you're building up the hype for years and years. You're making them better and better. And yeah, it is a risk because what if they bust the first time?
Exactly. Exactly. But, and they don't get the practice. The trainers are basically telling him that one of the most important parts of the training is to compete against the best. You know, you're never going to know how good you are, and you're never going to get better unless you really play against the best of the best. That's how you train.
But listen, Serena Williams is the best female tennis player.
Right. But they didn't know that until then. But
you're right, but obviously what he did paid off.
All
right,
so to answer your question, he also becomes a bit of like, he does a lot of interviews, he becomes a bit of like a television personality. So he does use their success in some ways to like better his own self.
I'm sure he does, but he also could have capitalized on it much earlier if he just put them into tournaments, he would have been making
money. But the question of the narrative is he's always saying, I'm doing it for my kids, I'm doing it for my kids. But when they get to Florida, right, they're just training, and he's basically in the spotlight. So on one hand, they're coming at him for like, let them perform, let them do what they're born to do. They're crying and asking like, let us compete. It takes like they play in the rain, and it takes, I think, Venus to finally just be like, you know, I'm ready, just let me. And like, he breaks down because he knows like she's right, and like it's so hard for him to just say yes, but he lets her. At the same time, while they are basically unable to do what they want to do, he's taking the opportunity and the time to take interviews, to go on talk shows. I think at one point he has like his own talk show. And so he's making a lot of money on the side. He's also basically living there for free, like the camp. Basically flew him down for free because the contract basically states like, okay, we're not making anything off of you now, but like once you start making money, we get like a percentage. So they're not making any money because they're not doing any tournaments. So the agency's kind of fed up because like they're living in Florida on their dime for years, going to Disneyland, doing whatever they want, doing fancy restaurants, and they're not returning. They're not making any return. So it is a little bit of like, you know, like you got to show a little, you know, you got to give something back, and he's not giving anything back. So at that point, you kind of look at it like he is being a little stubborn, a little bit selfish. I know what you're saying. Like obviously, and that's in your mind, you know, you're resonating very much with his decision, but for everyone else's decision, it was like, let them play, because he was kind of like keeping them behind, you know, a wall, keeping them behind
a
cage.
It wasn't like he had them locked up in a closet, you know? Like, he was training them, he was making them better, he was building hype, even by the interviews, that builds hype around his kids.
Right, but imagine if you're in the top tennis training camp, okay? And you're training with the best of the best of your age, for 5-6 years, and every day you do the same thing. You just go and you train, and everyone around you gets to go compete in tournaments, gets to go travel the country and compete in tournaments, and every day you just go and you just volley, you do the same thing. It's a bit, you know, it's a bit military, it's militaristic, it's very like,
you say repetitive, I say what every major sports player has ever done.
No. Because every
Kobe
other
major Bryant, LeBron James, you these guys are working 24/7, and yeah, LeBron went straight from
Mama mentality.
But they went to compete.
But they work their asses off. Yeah, when they were 18, they went to compete. How old are the kids?
No, but they didn't get to go. They didn't get to compete in high school tournaments. They didn't get to compete in college tournaments. Kobe and LeBron.
They were still in a position where they could be showing off their talent
no,
to the world.
Yeah, they weren't.
That's why the trainers are all behind them. No, nobody knows who this kid is.
But
they're not
at one
care.
Point, the trainer is speculative because he's like, I'm not making any money. And yes, they were really great when I saw him at 14, but at 18, I don't know how he's going to compete against, you know, on the national scale. Anyways, it's a flawed, it's a controversial performance. Nevertheless, he is the protagonist, and, you know, everyone knows how it ends up winding up, but it really is just a performance where you don't look at it like, oh, it's Will Smith in a movie. You really get thrown into the world, and you really get sucked in by this character, by this man who's really trying to come out of the gate. And that's why I think that this is Will Smith's best performance, because it really is. It's going to be one that defines his career. It's getting him a second Oscar nomination. I think he's going to win this year. I'm calling it right now.
Kobe, what you got?
So the movie that I chose was Pursuit of Happiness. I was actually pretty shocked that no one else chose it.
Yeah, it's like the Christian Bale of Batman's. It's the easy pick.
So the first time I saw it was about when I was 16, I think. I was doing summer school in Toronto, and our teacher made us watch it to talk about our dreams and stuff like that.
What classes were you taking?
What dreams did you have?
St. Elizabeth for the summer. And he turns it on, and I'm like, sweet, like another 2 hours of waste. Like, you know, I can just close my eyes, whatever. I'm watching the movie, and I'm like, wow, this movie's actually insane. Like,
it's a great movie.
I wish I started paying attention earlier in the movie. But basically what the movie's about is Will Smith's married. He has a kid living in somewhere in Manhattan, I don't know where. And this guy's life just really sucks. It's really tough for him. He invested all of his life savings into these bone density machines that he's trying to sell to hospitals. But later he finds out that hospitals don't really need them, and they're considered a luxury. And he's walking across some brokerage firm one day, and he sees some guy pull out a nice car. Everyone's happy leaving this building. And he asks the guy, what do you do for a living? And he's like, I'm a stockbroker. Mm-hmm. And you see that everyone's happy walking outside of the building, and he's like, why can't that be me? You know,
also important, he also asked the guy, what kind of schooling do you need to get that?
Yeah, and he says you just gotta be good with people and good with numbers. So Will Smith in this movie, his name's Christopher, he finished high school. Yeah, he finished high school, but that's about it. And he, you know, he's a sweet guy, he's good with people. And the whole movie is basically his pursuit for getting to that place in life where he thinks that's going to give him happiness. Right. Yeah. So throughout the movie, there's a ton of tragedies. Not tragedies, but, you know, his wife leaves him. She's fed up. His kid, they got to take out of school. This guy literally has no money to his name. He runs out of a cab that's $17. Like, he can't afford it. You don't know the relationship with this guy in the movie, but his friend owes him $14. And he essentially loses that friend because he couldn't give him $14. Now, us, you know, thank God we live in a situation, I think the four of us, that $14 doesn't crazy
it's not
impact
make or break
us.
You.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, this guy's life, it clearly does. Yeah. And at the end of the movie, and he's doing this internship for 6 months. I don't know about you guys, if you guys are working or not, but when you work for that long and you're not paid, it is terrible. It's the worst feeling in the world, knowing that you're making someone else money and you can't get in on any of it. Yeah. That's besides the point. This guy sleeps in the subway. Sleeps in the bathroom in the subway, like,
with
it's
his
really
son.
Sad.
It's,
yeah, with his son, who he's dragging along the entire time.
He's absolutely humiliated.
Now, one part
sad.
That really sticks out to me in this movie is he's playing basketball with his son, and he's shooting around, and his kid's like, oh, I love basketball, I want to be in the NBA, whatever. And Will Smith's like, listen, like, I was below average, so chances are that's what you're going to be also. So focus on schools and don't focus on basketball. And Will's kid in the movie, Jaden, takes the ball and tosses it to the side. He's really upset. And Will's looks at him, he's like, listen, like, don't let anyone ever tell you like what you can and can't do.
Right.
The only people that are telling you what you can't do are people that can't do it themselves. Not even me, like, don't listen to what I say. And the main reason why I chose for this movie is because I find in good movies, what separates great movies from good movies is that the great movies, they, I guess, they play with your emotions and they touch your emotions.
Yeah.
And when I think of movies that, you know, really, like, you know, not mess you up emotionally, you know, the movies that make you tear up and stuff like that, like The Blind Side's like a classic, another one of the movies I just loved, Infinity War, like, you know, when characters die, like, it really makes a difference. It's not like, you know, John Wick, where it's just like, you know, badass as hell, this guy's like stabbing people with pencils,
like, he's never gonna die.
I didn't think you were gonna go with Infinity War though. I thought you were going like Blind Side, Titanic. He's like, Blind Side,
no, but
Boy in
Phantom.
Pajamas.
Yeah.
But movies that really, you know, they get your emotions coming out. Like, I remember a few weeks ago when I was editing the podcast, I think Eliezer was talking about The Blind Side, and I wasn't holding back tears, but you feel that, like, you know, the movement in your stomach,
yeah,
like, oh, shit, like, here we go
empathy.
Again.
That's how I can portray that.
Yeah, so the same way with Pursuit of Happiness. Like,
that's why you're the host.
Once he gets the job, like, all right, bring in a shirt tomorrow, and you're like, you know, you see Will Smith, like, tearing up, and his eyes, like, super red.
It's the classic Will Smith, like, cry, where he's like...
Yeah. And you just go, you're like,
too much emotion
yeah.
for any
like,
noise to come
just
out.
Just shaking, yeah.
You're just like, hell yeah, I love that. And another theme that I really liked in this movie, I'm not really so head over heels about the fluffiness of, you know, the dreams and chasing your dreams and stuff like that. I'm very much into the hustle, and this guy had the craziest work ethic and hustle. Yeah. He was only able to work 6 hours a day while his peers in the internship program were able to work 9. He has a kid, he's running around back and forth, he's selling these things. Machines that he can afford groceries. So I really like the hustle about this movie, and I just thought it was an amazing movie overall.
It's a great choice, especially because it well, there's two things. One is the son in the movie is his actual son in real life.
Yeah, that
Jaden
was
Smith.
Very unique.
And so, yeah, you're seeing this dynamic of, you know, father and son, father trying to protect the son, father embarrassed by, you know, how low he is and, you know, what his son has to see from him. And it's the two of them. It's like, you know, like it's real. It's yeah. It feels real. It feels raw. But the movie also, and the message of the movie, like you said, it really corresponds with what Will Smith is all about today, right? Anyone that knows Will Smith as the man, the personality, the YouTuber, the, you know, everything he does outside of the film as well, it's all about like living life, not being scared, doing everything on your bucket list, right? I think one of the, if you look on YouTube, one of the greatest, in my opinion, one of the greatest motivational talks is the one where he gives, tells the story of when he went skydiving. And he says the one line that like always, you know, sticks with me, which is all the great things in life are right after scary, like right after fear. Like he jumps out of that plane and that first second is terrifying. And then it's the most beautiful sensation he's ever had. And I think it really resonates with this movie. And this, you know, up until King Richard, this was the movie. This is the movie. Now, I'm not going to say, you know, it's very close. Yeah, it just really resonates like with Will Smith as a person. Like Will Smith was a movie. It's Pursuit of Happiness.
Daniel.
Right, so I guess it's my turn. I'm going to start off by building off of what Kobe just said.
Okay.
There's a lot that goes into making a good movie,
yeah.
But it's really the acting that will set it apart, right?
Will set it apart.
Will Smith set it apart.
Bump it, man.
Anyway, I think when, like, for example, when you guys brought up The Spotlight, I was like, what movie am I going to do? You know, or what am I going to pick from his stuff? He does Fresh Prince, he does Men in Black, he does it all. But there's only one movie that I thought really got into like the drama and the really captured like a real energy and really made you feel emotions, which was The Pursuit of Happiness. That was a terrific movie. But I don't feel that really like shows what Will Smith is about. You know,
okay.
He is a funny actor. He's a bit of a goof. He's an action.
He's an optimist. Actions. Major optimist.
He has the potential to do drama like we saw in Pursuit of Happiness, but that isn't what he does. That isn't
what you think of when,
But it's not what I think of when I think of Will Smith.
Yeah.
Right.
I think of The Fresh Prince or something when I think of Will Smith. But I picked Men in Black. I mean, it's a trilogy. There's three of the originals, and then there are even more, like whatever, International, all those.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm only going to be speaking about these three because those are what he's in. There's a lot going on. This is a world where it's New York City, where aliens exist. And it seems to be that everyone's either completely in the dark or everyone knows, right? There's not really like, oh, I think it's either like, I'm pretty sure like aliens are real or we're the only ones on this planet. And so there's a lot going on. So I'm just going to read the Google plot summary.
Go for it.
The best kept secret in the universe, working for a highly funded yet unofficial government agency, K, or Tommy Lee Jones, and J, Will Smith, who's his young partner or new partner, are the Men in Black. Providers of immigration services and regulators of all things alien on Earth. While investigating a series of unregistered close encounters, the Men in Black agents uncover a deadly plot of an intergalactic terrorist who's on a mission to assassinate two ambassadors and pretty much destroy the world, you know? How most sci-fi movies go.
Yeah, your classic, we're aliens.
Deal with it.
We don't like you, so we're going to kill all you.
Yeah, but this was one of the OGs. This was like what set the tone for all those other movies that came out afterwards.
1996.
The golden age of television. All right, so, I mean, it's a stacked cast. You got Will Smith, as I said before. Tommy Lee Jones, as I said before.
You have a man crush on Tommy Lee Jones.
I got a bit of a man crush on Tommy Lee Jones. He's pretty cool. But you got other guys. You got Tony Shalhoub, who, like, if you've seen his face, you know who he is. But you know, he's one of those guys.
97.
You got Josh Brolin. Came out in 97. You got Drew Macy. You got Johnny Knoxville. You got Michael Jackson.
Knoxville's in this, really?
Knoxville's in this.
That's fine.
But yeah, whatever. You got some heavy hitters.
Mm-hmm. But
it starts off as Will Smith is just a New York City cop, right? You know, he's, I assume, from like the South Side of somewhere.
God.
But like he's like a, you know, like, no, because like whatever, like he's comfortable in the hood, you know, he's got his peeps.
That was good.
So he's the Fresh Prince.
He's the Fresh Prince as a cop.
He's the Fresh cop. He's the Fresh popo.
Whatever. So he meets Tommy Lee. Some crap goes down. He ends up coming in for this interview at Men in Black. This is where the beginning of the movie is.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in this room with Marines, SEALs, Rangers, like all these heavy, all these big guys.
Great scene.
Yeah.
Great
and scene. They're all so professional. They're all wearing uniforms. They're all like Musudar, like they're all organized. They're whatever. They got their things going. And then he just comes in untucked, like just a nutcase, just like saying weird things. And they go through this interview process and he's destroying all of them. They have a gun range and they have a bunch of fake aliens that come up.
Oh man.
And one little girl as a civilian. So everybody's just popping off shots at these aliens, not going for the little girl. And then Will Smith comes, pops off the little girl, and no aliens.
Everyone's like, why would you shoot her?
They're like, what is going through your head? He said,
look at me funny.
Well, you know, you got that guy in the gym. He's doing pull-ups on the street light. You got that guy. He's not, he looks like he's snarling. He looks like he's angry, but he's just sneezing. And then you have that little 8-year-old girl with advanced physics textbooks in this weird neighborhood. What the hell is she doing? She's sketchy. So, like, whatever. They love his answers. He's very creative. He's very original in the way he gets down to business.
I don't think you even give it, like, the I don't even know the word, but, like, the scene where, right there, too, in the written test.
Oh,
and everyone,
great.
And he has the pencil, and he has the test, and he wants a surface to write on.
Yeah, everyone else, you got to write on your knee or something.
They're all in these really uncomfortable, yeah.
And they,
like,
purposely put them there. They want
chairs.
To see how they, what
and,
they would do.
And he drags this, like, metal table across. Everyone's looking like, who the hell is this
What is he doing?
Guy, yeah.
But at the end of the day, he had a hard place to write. So, as time goes on, he's getting more experienced. You know, it goes through 3 movies, 14 years, and it's fun stuff. Now I'm going to get to my favorite part of talking about movies, the quotes.
Okay.
I personally love...
You still haven't given the why.
Yeah.
Or did you give the why?
I thought I gave the why.
Oh, you start off with the why. Oh, you're saying it's because this, like, this represents
this
who he
is. This represents who he is, yeah. Okay. He is not... He can be a drama actor. He can do something real.
Mm.
But a lot of it is just fun, comedy, action.
Mm.
That's
okay.
Just, that's
chill.
What you think of when you
so
think of Will Smith.
So you're saying, like, when we take Will
not
Smith
for
Will Smith, this, it's Men in Black.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Like, not what he can do, because I think he could do a lot.
Right.
But, yeah. So, have you guys ever heard the quote, let's agree to disagree?
Yeah, of course.
So, right? Everyone's heard that.
Say that with Brock all the time.
Believe me. Hold my beer.
Yeah, I gotta cut
hold
that out.
My beer.
So Boris the Animal, who's the villain from the third of these movies, with Will, the third one where Will is still involved in the franchise, Boris the Animal says, let's agree to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
To my knowledge, that is where the saying was founded.
From the third movie?
I could be wrong.
No,
but
way.
That came out in 2014.
You think no married couple in the 1900s ever said, let's agree to disagree?
Okay, so my sarcasm is not passing on through
you.
No.
You
are
no,
wrong,
when,
sir.
I was kidding.
Because you're the quote guy. I thought you were serious.
It was a joke. God damn it.
Like, delivery was off.
What's third degree? Yeah. You're right, fine. I'm sorry. I'm not in the right headspace. It's still early for me.
Whoa.
But,
all right.
No, but like, again, like, you have this world where everyone's an alien or knows what an alien is, or nobody knows shit.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just like walking around at some photo shoot, and Will's like, yo, is there anyone here who's not an alien? Because Andy Warhol's an alien, Michael Jackson's an alien, Elvis Presley's an alien.
Obviously.
Like, they say Elvis isn't dead, he just went back home.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there.
There was
it's
a line.
Very cute in pulp culture for that time. Pop culture for that time. Another great one is, oh, the red button there, kid. Don't ever touch the red button. Like, you know, when you see your big red, I see a big red button
obviously.
on your control panel right here. I want to touch it.
There are a few.
Let's see what happens.
Don't touch the buttons.
All right, fine. I'm not going to touch the
Homer
button.
Simpson.
Only because Tommy Lee Jones told me not to touch the button.
Don't
or
touch the button.
Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah. Or Rocket Raccoon, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah,
Groot.
So again, this isn't the most deep movie. This doesn't make you feel so much, but it's fun. You can watch it. Great thing to do with friends. And I think that this is a franchise slash movie that really represents what Will Smith is about as an actor.
I completely agree. And my pick, really, it shows all the range of Will Smith.
Here we go.
But in the third movie, you do get a lot of drama at the end.
Yeah. Well, there's got to be some drama in everything, but...
And, like, that really, it really hit home because, like, just everything that you see.
Yeah.
But that shows the range.
First of all, I don't want to say. Yeah,
that
like,
shows
we don't
the range
that
of who Will Smith is as
but
an actor.
But that wasn't necessarily
on one
range.
Hand,
that
have...
was such a small part of the third movie Which also, in my opinion, is the weakest.
No, I'm saying these movies as a whole.
It shows why the character has been the way that he is.
Ah, okay, fine.
It shows that like, it was kind of in his roots.
But I'm talking about these movies as a whole. These movies as a whole are showing that on one hand, and in real life, he is this, you know, positive, you know, adventurous, you know, happy guy.
Quirky.
Quirky. But man, can he act from, you know, my pick and from Kobe's pick.
And mine as well. No. my pick
By the way, sorry, just to be clear, I also think like the acting was like pretty fun and like on point for what they were trying to do.
Yeah, I know.
If it's they the weren't trying to be The Pursuit of Happiness, they were trying to be their own thing.
Or King Richard.
Right. Which so, I get to see.
You gotta see it, man.
My pick is a story about how Will's life got flipped, turned upside down. And I'd like to take a minute, if you all just sit right there, I'll tell you how he became the Prince of Bel-Air. No, it's just how I became the Prince of Bel-Air.
Is that the theme song?
Yeah.
That's the opening to the beginning of the theme song.
That's two words in. I know what he's doing there.
Knowing Eliezer, like, it's going to be the first thing he does, no matter what.
Now,
It's a great tune.
It's a phenomenal tune, and a phenomenal show of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which was Will's introduction into acting.
Right.
He was just a kid from West Philly who, wanted to be an actor. He wanted to rap. He didn't even want to act.
Yeah.
What's actually phenomenal, I just read this.
He did rap, too.
Will Smith, okay. He was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. He it was said that he turned down a scholarship to MIT.
What?
Yeah.
How?
But he said he never applied to college because he wanted to rap. Smith says that he admitted to a pre-engineering summer program at MIT for high school students, but he did not attend.
Wow.
Smart guy. Brilliant man.
Yeah.
And
you can see from his portfolio as a businessman as well. He's just fantastic. Yeah.
He took this role, I don't actually remember which studio,
I think it's Warner Brothers.
I would assume it's Marvel.
No, it was Nickelodeon. Wasn't that Nickelodeon?
Right. I think it was Nickelodeon. They wanted to make a show about a teenager from the hood who moved to LA, and is like a rapper. It was NBC.
NBC.
So NBC wanted to make the show.
Do you remember that episode where NBC used to drag him away from Philly, throwing him back into Bel Air?
Exactly. So,
Actually, just as you were saying that, it made me think of something else. Just about Will Smith and The Fresh Prince.
Okay.
You know, right before he was cast in this, he was broke. He had no money. His rapping career was shit. He was just on a downward slope for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then NBC... Fresh Prince came along and just launched him sky high.
Right. So basically, he... The story it really reflects a lot of Will Smith as a person, where he was born and raised in West Philly.
Sure, he got into a few fights.
And the only difference is that he got into a few fights. His mom was like, "No, you got to go live with your auntie and uncle in Bel Air," as opposed to NBC giving him a shot at a role and him then being launched into stardom.
So it's pretty much the same thing.
Right.
He ends up in LA.
The character Will Smith, who is played by Will Smith, he was him and Alfonso Ribeiro, who play the two main characters. They were both asked, okay, what do you want your character's name to be? Because this is what you will now be known as for the rest of your life. And Will Smith is like, well, if people are going to know me for this, my character's name will be Will Smith. And Alfonso Ribeiro, I don't know why, but he chose the name Carlton.
He does look like a Carlton, though, at least in the show.
Well, 100%. But now people will come up to him and be like, Carlton! And he'll be, my name's actually Alfonso Ribeiro, you know? Either way.
Which, if you saw him on the street, you would assume, even if you never saw him in a show, you'd assume it's Carlton over Alfonso.
I guess. So you have, like I said, Alfonso Ribeiro playing Carlton Banks, Will's cousin. Will's uncle, Uncle Phil, the late James Avery, just phenomenal, phenomenal actor. Some of the best scenes in the show are with Uncle Phil. You have Tatiana Ali playing the young cousin, Ashley Banks. Karen Parsons playing the older, more,
worse.
not worse, but like she's nice. Spoiled. Hilary Banks, the Jeffrey the butler, played by Joseph Marcel,
who is also I don't want to say underrated because everyone loves him, but
Jeffrey's the man.
He was incredible.
Aunt Viv is played by two different actresses. There was a dispute in the middle of the show.
Oh, really?
The funniest part was when they showed up, like first episode with a new one. You're like, oh, you look different.
Yeah. They made a joke about it, but
they knew what they were
the
doing.
First three seasons it was Janet Hubbard. And the last three seasons, it was Daphne Reed, his best friend DJ Jazzy Jeff, and a whole long list of others. But what this show does beautifully is it takes both the comedic side of Will Smith and the harsh,
dramatic
side of
empathic
Will Smith of like the hardships that he went through and a lot of the people that. With his similar upbringing go through. Two of the most powerful scenes in the show that come to mind are when Will and Carlton are
pulled over with a Mercedes.
No. When they're mugged in getting money at an ATM. And Will actually puts himself before Carlton and gets shot.
Oh, wow.
Carlton then shows up to the hospital like, don't worry, you know, I'm going to protect us now. And he has a gun. And Will's not having it. He's like, no, I took a bullet for you. You just give me the gun. He's yelling. And like the it's a sitcom. There's
live
studio
audience.
Right.
Silent. And he's yelling at Carlton. And Carlton's like really, really scared because he's never seen Will this
intense.
Serious. Yeah.
Though a great thing that they did was with like for comic relief. Right after that, they were like, Carlton was said, you took a bullet for me. He's like, and then Will's response to that was, well, it could have hit me above the belly button anyways. It would have hit. And like, you wouldn't have mattered.
Right. No. So he can always make light of a dark situation, but like he really showed his emotion and his intensity and his ability to act in that scene. And the other scene that really comes to mind is one of the most famous scenes from the show. Is when his dad comes back after all these years of abandonment and then, you know, he spends one day with Will and Will's ready to forgive him. He's like, yeah, this is my dad. We're going. And then he leaves again. And Uncle Phil has to be like, listen, you can't trust him. He's not a good dude. And Will is just yelling at him, but he's yelling at Uncle Phil, but he wants to be yelling at his dad.
Right.
And like it starts off as like Will trying to defend his dad, and then he starts yelling about how he doesn't need him anymore, and he learned how to play basketball by himself. He learned how to tie a tie by himself.
Like shave.
He learned how to shave by himself. And then he gets us all when he's like, "Where is he, huh? Where is he?
Why doesn't he love me?"
And he like Uncle Phil embraces him, and he's like, "Why doesn't he love me anymore?" Like, just really, really tugs at the heartstrings. And there's really not much else to say about how the range. One of my favorite jokes from the show is Will sitting on the couch. They're all talking about how rich they are, how this, and it's in front of a live studio audience, and Will goes, you know, if we're so rich, how come we can't afford a roof? And he looks up and it's like, it's a set. So there's no roof.
It's in the episode?
It's in the episode.
It's
amazing. It's amazing. So you can have the range of my father abandoned me and I'm
alone in the world.
Alone in the world and gun violence and how it's terrible to... Why can't we afford a roof?
Because I think that represents what Will Smith is as a person. Exactly. You know, he's someone who works hard to accomplish his goals and accomplish his dreams. But at the same time, it never makes him negative. He's thankful. He's happy. He's optimistic. Right. He believes in himself. He believes in humanity. And that's the combination of what also makes him as an actor. Like, he's got this comedic, goofy, quirky side. But he knows how to take things seriously. He knows how to take things up a notch. He knows how to make it dramatic. And it just, you know, we really summed it up at all fronts. You know, we got the, you know, the Oscar nominee performances, the ones, the tear jerking, you know, empathic, super emotional ones. And we got the, you know, the more, a little more goofy, a little more playful sides of the roles that he's played.
Yeah. I mean, I think you also missed a pretty important scene in terms of like getting real and getting dramatic, which is, and I forget what season, but in a random episode, season one?
I think so, yeah.
Season one.
He hasn't even said it yet.
I know what he's talking about.
You got Carlton and you got Will driving, I think it was a Mercedes. It was Uncle Phil's business partner's or law partner's car. They were driving it. They were driving it to Florida or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't really remember.
The business partner took Uncle Phil and Aunt Viv in the helicopter and asked Carlton and Will to drive his car to the event.
Yeah. So whatever, you got that. You got two young African-Americans in L.A. back in the 90s driving a nice car. You know what's going to happen. LAPD going to start some shit.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They just pull him over. Just
straight out of Compton.
Yeah, like they weren't doing anything wrong. You had Carlton driving, so you know it was responsible. And then these cops, they say, whose car is this? And then you say, oh, it's my dad's business partner. I'm not going to believe you. Fine. But then it just starts some shit. And like they keep on going. They end up in county lockup.
What?
Yeah. Uncle Phil has to end up coming with Aunt Viv. And they get angry, you know?
Yeah.
Like Uncle Phil is a premier lawyer. He becomes a judge, for God's sake.
Yeah. Mm.
He knows what he's doing. Then you got Aunt Viv, the mother bear. She's like, you deal with my kids like this, I'm going to kill you. So, paraphrasing, but you know, you got the idea.
Pretty much.
I just got to bring up a parallel because there's an amazing scene, and it's also referenced in the trailer for King Richard, where they're in Compton, and the neighbors across the street who are skeptical of Will because he's training. That's the other thing. He's always pushing his kids so hard because he wants them to succeed. But he's training them in the rain. He's training them at night. He's training them every second of the day that he can, right? And when he's not, he's working. He doesn't sleep. I think he only sleeps on like Saturdays. And so at one point,
religious Jew,
the neighbor calls the cops for like, you know, inhumanely parenting,
abuse, child abuse.
And him and his wife, they're like, all right, well, let's go around the table. You know, we've got, you know, A-plus students. We've got a bunch of future tennis stars in the house, right? Like, don't, you know, just judge. But that's part of the world we live in sometimes. There are some people in the world who are still just, you know, quick to assume, quick to judge someone before actually, you know, learning about the person. Or
you know what happens when you assume?
You make an ass out of you and me.
No, somebody in Mexico gets kidnapped once every hour.
What?
But you were assuming that I would say you make an ass out of you and me.
Good lord.
I'm pretty sure that's a real statistic, by the way.
That was a good one. That was a good one. This has been real life. And
now, you have tuned into
Real Life.
That is R-E-E-L. Life. You can let us know what you thought of our episode and what you thought of our picks and which Will Smith movie was your favorite. Also, let us know what future episodes to do.
We always want recommendations.
Exactly. We're always open to recommendations.
We're pretty like unoriginal and non-creative. As you know, we're hosting a podcast about movies and TV, so we can use some help.
Exactly. Now we've been Eliezer Liv, Ezra Snookel, Kobe Mall, and Daniel Dolphin.
And Mendel Zlotnick.
And
in spirit.
Mendel in spirit. You can let us know all your ideas and thoughts and suggestions on Instagram and Twitter. On Twitter at all caps, R-E-E-L underscore lowercase L-I-F-E underscore.
That's though, right?
Real underscore life underscore. I said that. And on Instagram at R-E-E-L-L-I-F-E-P-O-D-C-A-S-T. That's Real Life Podcast. No uppercases. No underscores. No spaces.
No nothing.
No nothing?
No nothing.
No nothing.
Kobe's no nothing.
No nothing. No nothing.
Right. Have a good day, guys.
Have a great day.
But you're my stepbrother.
Why?
I swear to fucking God.
Oh my god. I'm leaving that in, by the way.
Can we save that for blooper reel? Put it in at the end just for the people who listen to the entire thing.
Oh my god.